So we went for 41 minutes, and then we got disconnected, all of us, for some reason. So we're back on reconnected, and Dave, you wanted to comment on the 41
minutes? Well, earlier today I thought, well, ordinarily when I do things, if I go into trance, and of course I haven't officially done that for a long time, but the rhythm was if I went into trance, the trances lasted 40 minutes, usually exactly 40 minutes. And so that's when this occurrence happened. The thing that is very curious to me is the information from awareness was that when words from awareness, cosmic awareness, go out, that they're encapsulated in awareness energy. The words are there, but the energy is around it. And when people use those words, they're actually functioning in awareness, whether they know it or not. So actually, you might say cosmic awareness is affecting and coloring anything that is said that is words that have been used by awareness. And so it's been going on and going on for many, many, many years, as far as I know. In other words, for maybe 30 years, the effect of that has been happening all over consciousness at all times. And this, to me, is sort of like proof of it.
Yeah, because you may have affected the electrical levels of matter.
Or more, yes. In other words, I know that there are things going on now. My favorite phrase lately is that it's going beyond the control of the controllers.
Hmm.
That the speed is the acceleration of change is happening faster than those that are trying to control change can control it. And you just look at what's happening in the world. You can check off your list on practically anything, and that's what's happening.
Well, that goes into the next topic. We'll go back to Rye when it's appropriate, and more further definition.
Well, let's go back to Rye. Rye went to essence.
Well, I'm in back.
So we're stuck here alone. We got to take care of business.
I was thinking we'd go back to the remembrance, a little nostalgia for the Rye concept, but I was going to say the next area is the September 5th, 1969. You referred to it earlier as the apex of polarity. It's in that period from January 6, 7 to September 5th, 69 that this acceleration of the control so that the controllers can't control it, isn't that when it kind of began?
That's when the new formula started taking place. Now, what that new formula meant, that people could not send energy ahead to pick up later. If they were good managers, they could take the energy and manage it in time. But the moment they made a move for power to use energy that they'd sent ahead, they would use up the energy so fast that soon they weren't going to have anything behind them. But those who could manage energy as it was in present time would have phenomenal results. That's one reason why Clinton had an amazing administration, because he was a manager of this sort of thing. Whether he knew it or not, that was the outcome.
Yes.
And
now you go back to 68. It's around March 68, I think, that the London gold market starts to have a problem, and they start to figure out what, I don't know, they started to change the gold, the Rothschilds, when they meet every day and they determine the gold price. They had to do some negotiating in 68. And then the next level was August 71 when Nixon took the dollar off they took the dollar off the fixed exchange rate. So there's this floating apparatus going on.
Uh-huh.
At the time, I knew you back then, and I used to think about this acceleration and this post-Rye and the management of time and energy and the risk of projecting ahead, whether you manage it properly. we saw, would you agree that we saw that the way the economy went in terms of its basic structure, it started to loosen up?
Uh-huh.
Did you recall that period?
Yes.
And would that be an expression in this world, this practical secular world, of what had happened in January 67?
January 67,
I mean, Rye returned to essence.
Yes,
the control wasn't so solid.
I really don't know, because I know from January 67th until my birthday, which was May 23rd, there were quite a few personal changes. And anyway...
And that was before they approached you to...
To come back and give some trances, yes.
Yeah, that would be like in the summer. They asked you to do that.
They asked. It was the time of my birthday, May
23rd. Oh, that's when they asked you.
Yes, I got a letter from Geraldine Morris, like a birthday letter.
Yeah.
Saying, I know that you didn't want to relate to all this, but there are some people down in Olympia that would like to have a trance, and I wouldn't have to trance for the old group. I could trance for some new people. I said, well, it doesn't matter. I'll come, and if some of the old people come, fine. So there was a group that was from Organization Awareness, and then there were some other friends of them that were interested in the project, that they had this reading, and as a result of that reading, it was set up to give other readings, and the thing that was kind of extraordinary about that trance, it said that within so many days there would be some kind of change that would give a clue as to how soon the messages of Fatima would be released. Well, within the next few days, the Israeli war of 67 took place.
Yeah, the first week of June 67.
Yeah, the six-day war. And the next trance awareness indicated, because of that war, that the information that would be released regarding Fatima would be delayed for, I think, 6 years, I think this it was, but I'm not positive. But in other words, I gave the trance, the war occurred, the next one said, all right, the Fatima information will be delayed for a certain period of time. And now I forgot where we're going to go on that.
Well, I want to bring up this point. It was in you were asked to form the Servants of Awareness. Doobies was called the Organization of Awareness. And didn't you guys incorporate the same day that Krishnamurti incorporated his Independent Foundation?
Well, that was later.
That's in August, right?
In August of 68, yes.
Oh, August 68, okay.
Yeah.
And it was the same day it turned out.
Yeah, we didn't know it, but we found out later that, and you see, as a result of a lawsuit, we were able to do that, and as in the case of Krishnamurti, as a result of a lawsuit, he was able to do that. And so both of us, you know, at the time, when we thought that it was kind of mischievous for this to have occurred, but apparently it was more than that. It was timing on another level. Something stopped and something started in both cases, but the starting of that corporation and our corporation was the same. We personally didn't care about the corporation, but it was necessary to have the corporation in order to have laying on of hands, for instance. That we, in the healing process, in the classes and et cetera, technically, without it being a religious educational organization, we couldn't do the laying on of hands.
Right.
So it was necessary for us to form a corporation for that purpose, and then it was called a religious educational organization.
Right. Now, I remember, I don't know if it came through Doobie's sessions or your sessions and readings, they talked about, in a way, the last gasp of the Rai control trip was the Order of the Golden Dawn or the Theosophical Society that Krishnamurti was propped up by. The loosening of that after Rai returns to essence, in other words, you becoming the medium and intending not to be a controller like Doobie was, but Krishnamurti is freed from that whole structure that he was embedded in for most of his life. At the same period, he loosens up. So I see that as a post-Rai phenomenon there.
Well, also, it's like he took more direct, that Roger Gopal had been the guy who did all the business and he did all the writing. And
yeah.
Then the writings made money for both of them, and then Krishnamurti had enough money to do what he wanted to do. Roger Gopal had the control of it. But when he said he wanted to establish a school there in Ojai, he already had a Roger Gopal and his wife had a Happy Valley school, but that wasn't the thing that, I mean, Krishnamurti wanted to expand it and make it into what he considered more authentic. Not that it would be teaching all kinds of Krishnamurti's work, but would be an orderly school of learning all kinds of things, so you would have information. But at that time, Krishnamurti said, if you take what I've said and turn it into a catechism, if it takes me 500 years to come back, I'll come back and smash it.
Right. And now, is Happy Valley in Ojai? What's Happy Valley?
Happy Valley was the name of the school in Ojai.
Oh, okay. All right.
On the property that Krishnamurti owned and that eventually he got back after. But he wouldn't sue, but a lot of his friends sued, and the Secretary of State brought it up, and it took several years. But
Secretary of the Estate?
Secretary of State of California.
Oh, okay.
He became like a champion for Krishnamurti, like a friend of the court.
Well, you know, when you say the phrase Happy Valley, I remember at that time, 69-70, Frank Zappa had on the doorway to his home studio, which was, where he wasn't the huge
studio. Up on Laurel Canyon?
Yeah, on Woodrow Wilson Drive.
Yeah.
He was before he built the huge studio in 79, but 10 years before he would edit and do things in the basement of his home there that he just moved into in like 68. But he called it Dr. Zircon's secret lab. I think it was secret. Dr. Zircon's secret lab in Happy Valley.
Well, there may be a reference. I don't know how close Zappa was to Krishnamurti, but so many people were that I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. He did say, you know, he was brought up as a Catholic, and then he learned about Zen when he was about 18 or 19, and that changed his view of being a Catholic. Now, I don't know if he heard that or read it about Zen, or maybe he went to a Krishnamurti talk. Krishnamurti kind of started...
Well, see, Happy Valley School was considered a far-out alternative school, and it was very small.
Right. But Krishnamurti starts speaking again about 1960, right?
Yeah, and then he doesn't come back till 66.
Oh, he only does a few in 1960.
Yeah, a few in 1960, and then he doesn't come back until 66. And then that, in 66, that's the first time that he allows television cameras.
And that's the one you were at where you asked that question? Ah, so that was his return, the return of Krishnamurti.
Yes.
That taped session, and you asked the question. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking Zappa would have been about 19 or 20, 1960. I don't think he went to a Krishnamurti lecture, but you never know. You know, he's earned a lot of injuries. Okay, so maybe he read some Krishnamurti. Okay, so we're talking about the loosening of the acceleration of projecting into the future some energy, the traditional magician's formula, and the erosion of that projection rapidly.
Yes.
The acceleration of that erosion from 68 on.
That everybody from September the 5th, 1969, on forward, everyone in the world who made a move for power used up whatever energy they had sent ahead and depleted. In other words, they spent like a drunken sailor and then found out they didn't have anything more to spend. And, of course, there were other higher magicians and higher things that wound up being able to spend more and more. But you see, now it's depleting the world, these people moving for power.
Yeah.
Look at what's happening right now in present time, including, I think, the blip of our phone going off. I don't know.
Yes. It was like awareness did not want to establish its charisma again, so you were starting to get us drunk, feel the ecstasy, and it stopped it. Or its possible future projection got cut off immediately.
Yeah.
I want to go into more about September 5th, 69, but we're talking about, I remember if Doobie died in the first week or so of January 67, it's around January 14th, the middle of January, that the famous first be-in happens in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco.
In what day? In 66?
67.
67, yeah.
A week or
but
two.
But the be-in didn't happen until much later than that, did it?
No, the first be-in was January about 14, I think, 1967.
Right.
Ginsburg, I think, and maybe Leary was there. They led the first human being, the first middle of the first month of 67. And it's interesting that bursting out of that kind of collective energy happened right after Doobie died, when Rai returned to essence.
Yes.
Would you see, is the coming together of people, and that's the year when the Beatles are going to really start doing Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Band and all that stuff, and singing all "We're All One" and all that. Is that? Do you think the idea "We're All One" is a final emotion of control to control control, or it's a celebration?
That's a good phrase. It's a, in other words, control implies one thing controlling something else, and if you get to the point where there is not something controlling something else, but something happening together that is the control that controls control would fit into there. There's a symbol for it in the awareness. It looks like if you had two different arrows pointing different directions, but in the middle part is this little implied circle that these two forces are trying to move apart, but they are held together by gravity, so to speak.
Right. You know, I was going through my papers and I found the chart of the 144 symbols just the other day, and it's sitting right beside me.
Yes.
I haven't looked at it in years.
Yes.
And
incidentally, the thing that happened on September the 5th when we met at that lodge in the park near Renton, to start our meeting off, we had a slide projector and we put up those 144 symbols in a period of 5 minutes. In other words, just slowly showed those and everybody watched. But when we finished the 5 minutes, everybody was knocked out by what happened and we had to stop, and everybody spread all over the park privately for, I think it was about 2 hours before we could get back together to do anything. People individually could talk off in groups and etc., but as far as getting together to continue what we intended, it took at least 2 hours.
Mm.
Because so it's like you can experiment with this yourself of taking those symbols and looking at them one by one right after another for a period of 5 minutes to see how it affects you, and you probably get, so it's extraordinary stuff. And
describe the symbol you were describing. Is it
the control that controls control?
Right. I want to see if that's listed here. Attempted it again, or
yeah.
Here it is. 91. The control that controls control. I'm looking up number 91, and
all right.
It's it's two triangles, thin triangles. The bases are facing each other, but the bases have been rounded into and becomes a circle.
Well, it's not a circle because the top and the bottom don't touch.
Yeah, they're not touching. That's the right symbol.
It's like
right?
A field of energy and something trying to move this way and something else trying to move that way, and they're held together in this control that controls control state. And then you were referring to group action as being the
control that controls control.
Yes, and I acquiesce that that is probably so. Your comment is probably right on.
Right, and the image is like two arrowheads going in opposite directions.
Yeah.
And they're darkened, they're black, and then there's a circle, incomplete circle in between.
Yeah.
This is great. I haven't looked at these symbols in 30 years.
Well, you see, the symbols are not static. It's like you have to look at them as though you're looking with special effects that have movements and et cetera. Each symbol has all this movement in it, simplified, and yet these names that have been put on them are kind of a description of the nature of that force.
Right. I'm looking here, and there's, I don't know if you remember this one pager with every symbol titled and numbered, but there's only 142. And it's the 142nd is conscious mediumship.
Yes, and the other two were added, and I forgot exactly. I know that new being was one, which was included. The blue pearl within kind of a gyroscope kind of. Appearance. If you drew a gyroscope and in the middle of it you put a blue pearl.
Well, that brings up two points. First of all, at the bottom of the chart it says cosmic awareness communication, so this is redone by Paul Shockley's group, the third channel for cosmic awareness. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. Were you cosmic awareness communications that's Paul Shockley, right?
Well, cosmic awareness communications was the name that Winston Turnbull had, and of course Paul Shockley worked with him.
Yeah, and that's not Servants of Awareness.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, so I probably got it from Paul, but here's the point.
There's very little things from Servants of Awareness that he includes in that. As a matter of fact, I think he put one of my readings in one of his anniversary things, but it was he chose a reading that was so convoluted. At the time, these convolutions had significance in terms of energy, but on first look at them, they don't seem to make that much sense. And I thought, how clever of him to do, say, well, you see, this is what David Wooster did.
Yeah. No.
But anyway, that's
you know,
most of that stuff, I just let go and let it be. And maybe it helped me be less sucked into a lot of things, that I was able to go on about my business with less trouble.
Whereas Paul Shockley, they had a lot of trouble from 1975 on.
Well.
And he's passed away and you're still alive.
Yeah.
Now, I met a woman a few years ago here in New York City who lived in Olympia, Washington, and I don't know how we came around to it, but she actually did repair work on Avaton's house and remembers going down the basement and seeing, you know, the stacks of old readings. She actually saw his basement where all the stuff was stored, and I just met her out of the blue. But, but you bring up this interesting point. You mentioned the symbol 143, 144, and the gyroscopic action. you wouldn't remember this, but the first time I visited you and Vern, or later to be called Chris, at your home in Richmond, I walked in.
Richmond Beach, yes.
Yeah, outside of Seattle. And my first memory of this is we were talking, and then Chris comes down the stairwell. He was sleeping in, and he came down. And you started addressing him, and you said, well, Chris, it's like this. Actually, you said Vern back then. Vern, it's like this. It's a gyroscopic action. And you made these motions with your arms trying to mime the gyroscopic action. And that was the first thing I ever heard you say in awareness context. And you're saying now that's one of the symbols you added later?
Well, it was added. I don't recall. It may have even been Denton Spivey.
No, he didn't show up till this is September 69. He showed up in October.
Yeah, I know, but he may have been the one who drew that together at a later point.
Oh, I see. He might have made the symbol.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I'm not. That's just the back of my whatever I've got here.
Okay. Right. Now, so we're talking about September 5th, the apex of polarity. And what's interesting, I've heard about that weekend. Do you want to describe some more about the weekend? Why is it called the apex of polarity? What happened?
Well, at an earlier point, there was a reading. This would go back, it could have been in 67. In this reading, there was a move to get everybody to meditate together for 24-hour, over a 24-hour period. Everybody was to be meditating whenever they could, as often as they could. And the object was to create a kahuna ring that would be about 25,000 miles out in space and would surround, would put a ring around the Earth. And that this ring would expand like a donut until it became so full that it would enclose the Earth. And the idea was that anyone who meditated on this kahuna ring could travel like in an auto car up to the kahuna ring and back. And that this would be like protection for Earth. Well, it apparently is out about where the Van Allen belt is, and I think that scientifically there have been a number of different phenomena that could be related to it. For a long time, I just kind of forgot about it, the kahuna ring bit, you know. It was a fabulous experience and a wonderful concept, but then it turns out maybe the concept was more than that because it seemed to be working. Well, I found out that there were groups all over the world that picked up on it and tuned in and did it, and we didn't even know who they were. But we over time found out many, many others were doing the same thing. And so I think that's like kahuna magic that became embodied in whatever we were doing.
And I think they named the Van Allen belt or discovered it around that time, right?
I think so. I don't really know.
Discovered in the 60s or late 60s, but we could check that.
Yeah.
But the thing is that now what you've just talked about, how does that relate to September 5th, 69, the apex of polarity, this kahuna ring?
It said in that same reading that there had been this formulation in consciousness for a long time that could send energy ahead and pick it up later. In other words, like someone who would reincarnate deliberately along a certain line and go in. And it's like dying as a millionaire and being born later as a millionaire, you know?
Yeah.
Which has to do with all the royalty and all the systems and so on. But this energy that we were to continue, this Kahuna Ring would continue in energy for up to 5 years, that would change the formula. Well, as it is, that got accelerated and it peaked out at September the 5th, 1969.
So the Kahuna Ring was maybe established as a concept about 1964.
No, it was later than that.
But then,
because
yeah,
it wasn't 5 years long. It was probably only about 2.5 years, about half the time.
Right. Initially,
we thought it would be 5 years, but it turned out to be, the message came through that it was occurring on that particular date, and so we just went with it.
Now, was this a concept that came through you or with Doobie before?
It came through me.
Oh, okay, and that starts in the summer of 67, so you're talking less than 2 years.
Yeah, well...
No, about 2 years and 2 months, maybe.
Something like that.
Yeah, right, I see. So that that completed its mission in September 5th, 69 weekend, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, and because... This is what I find interesting. Reading this book called Nerds, it was based on a PBS documentary on the history of the Internet and how it formed, on page 91. And I looked up the calendar. September 5th is a Friday. So do you remember getting together on Friday and going in for a couple of days, that reunion, that meeting?
I don't remember. If it was September the 5th and it was Friday, that was when it happened.
It was
September the 5th in the evening.
So it was a one-day thing. You didn't continue hanging out on the 6th and 7th?
I think we did. For one thing, the hall was only about two blocks from where Lucille Ryman lived. She'd helped arrange to get it.
Right.
And she was a primary force in all that.
Okay, so looking at this history, it says at UCLA, I'll just read a bit of this. They had the 9 month, yeah, on page 89 it says, obstetricians often tell expectant mothers that 9 months is a month too long for pregnancy. Certainly most mothers feel that way. But to develop, test, and install a new high-tech communications medium, the gestation period from January 1st to September 1st was far too short. Inevitably, there were both surprises and compromises. BBN's policy, that was a company, private company affiliated with MIT in Massachusetts, BBN's policy, defined by Frank Hart, was to make the system good enough. Quote, Bob Kahn regretted that we didn't do a better job in the routing algorithm. He was always convinced it was going to fail, and he was right. It eventually failed. To have listened to him would have meant not meeting the deadline, which was September 1st, 69. So I don't regret for a minute having gone forward with an imperfect system, but it was certainly the case that there were things wrong with it. We got surprises, and the network broke in smaller and larger ways a little bit over the next few years, and then those problems were fixed. So then they get into delivering the first part of the equipment to UCLA. Dave Walden enjoyed the drama of meeting the deadline. Quote, delivering the first machine in 9 months was pretty exciting. It did get shipped on time. When we heard that the UCLA people weren't expecting it because they were running a little bit behind, and they were hoping we were behind too, that made us, of course, feel pretty good. Then Vint Cerf, the ERF, he's famous now. Vint Cerf was at UCLA. He says, our software wasn't quite ready when the hardware showed up, and it was Labor Day weekend, and we were sort of hoping it might be delayed. Now, Labor Day weekend was September 1st. Labor Day was September 1st. And it was Labor Day weekend, and we were sort of hoping it might be delayed. We scrambled to get the hardware interface between the IMP and the SDS-7 that we were using as our main host to work. That was the very first BBN 1822 interface that was built. So BBN delivered the product on time, the 1st of September. Then... they hook up, let me describe, they actually, this guy, who is it, say. Len Kleinrock says, my laboratory was the place where the Internet came to life. It was then called the ARPANET. We had the first switch called an IMP, or an IMP, which was wheeled into my laboratory over the Labor Day weekend in 1969. And on Tuesday of the next week, that would be September 2nd, we had bits moving back and forth between that switch and my host computer. Then he says, to witness this historic event, there was no shortage of interested parties. On the day following Labor Day, September 2nd, as Len Kleinrock recalls, we had messages moving back and forth. Everybody was there. And, okay, then it talks about the UCLA team. And then, a month later, on October 1st, 69, the second IMP, or IMP, was installed at Stanford Research Institute. So they talk about that. Then IMP number 3 was installed at the University of California at Santa Barbara on November 1st, 69. IMP 4 was installed at the University of Utah on December 1st, 69. So what I remember, because I was hanging out with you out there in Richmond Beach in that period, was about October 15th, you gave a reading, Dave, where there was, it was kind of like a scenario of great polarity or tension and paranoia. And I think Awareness talked about the mobilization for the anti-war stuff that was going to happen October, November 69. We now know historically that Nixon was thinking of nuking Thailand or Laos or someplace, North Vietnam, doing something drastic in that period of October 69. But the demonstration was so big in October 15, 69, that they backed off. But I remember sitting there that night, and it was a very urgent message that came through Cosmic Awareness, and I'm pretty sure that was October 15th. But what's interesting is that you have the Internet being built in this period when the apex of polarity has happened, Rai is evaporated or returned to essence, and you raise the question, which you first raised to me in 93, I remember, what is left of man after Rai, which created this man-human dimension, what is left? Could the Internet be what Awareness called the cobwebs of Rai, or is it the leftover of man, and the cyborg is the leftover, or whatever we become as we merge with the Internet technology and move into a chip body, chip landscape? These are thoughts I've had lately. I was wondering what you think of that.
Well, I think the cobwebs of Rai mean thought, and the significance of thought in polarity. And it's like when the polarity ends, the cobwebs are slower to leave. You know what I mean?
They're slower to leave? Yeah, they're the last to leave. They're the last to leave, you mean?
Yeah, because they're just cobwebs.
Right. And would that be that thought? Is thought prior to Rai, is thought Rai?
Essentially.
Yes, so that the solidification of thought is this dimension, and thought is like the effect of Rai, so it's the last to go.
Yeah, and you might say separateness is Rai, and return to essence is the end of separateness. And you talked about the one, the groups being as one.
Yes.
That all figures in.
Yeah, because the idea of being one is the control that controls control, and if there's no separateness, you wouldn't even...
It sort of sounds like the end of paranoia, too, doesn't it?
No, exactly. I did a session with Dr. Beter and Krishnamurti and McLuhan and Marcel Duchamp, the artist, and Eisenhower came into it with the Evergreens. And that, I think, either in that session or another panel I did through the Evergreen, McLuhan said it's the end of paranoia. You're the second person to say that to me in this context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's like paranoia is actually speculation, you know.
Yeah, it's projecting.
You can't have paranoia without speculation. If you end speculation, you can end paranoia.
Right.
Because things that you would fear either manifest, it's sort of like the fight or flight that the animal has. But the man hears something in the jungle and speculates on what it is, whereas the animal either checks it out or goes.
Yes.
Know? But man speculates, and of course the speculation is in thought. And only one thing is true. All the other millions of things that he's thought are untrue, and those are all the cobwebs. And if the cobwebs clear, then whatever is true is manifested and clear. And of course, if you follow it all the way back, then everything in the universe disappears back through dark matter into
dark
energy, and then who knows? I mean, we have the word of awareness that everything swims in cosmic awareness, that nothing created cosmic awareness, that everything that was created follows it, including consciousness. That consciousness is created is a great deal of difference between cosmic consciousness and cosmic awareness.
Yeah. Okay, I had a thought, I lost it, but I'm going to bring another thought to see what happens here. I remember William Irwin Thompson, when he writes and gives the history of consciousness, the evolution of consciousness, he begins with the flight, what is it, flight and what?
Fight or flight.
Fight or flight of the little amoeba or the little cell. It's, mm-hmm. its first spasms of movement are like the fight or flight thing. Now, that could be a form of thought, right? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Is that the movement of the little amoeba, the little cell, is that a fight? Is that a physical manifestation of thought?
Well, it's pretty far into the manifestation of the dimension of man. If separateness and the dimension of man are affected by Rai, then of course that would be, in a sense, the manifestation of thought. But we have to remember that thought only lives up at the level of a million vibes per second. Now, you'd have to check the vibes per second on an amoeba compared to something else,
right,
before you come up with an answer, and that's a whole scientific project that by the time it was done, it would all be over anyway, so.
Right. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at the symbols here. They're not the same symbols. It begins with the first one with the flower. The second one, they have a spiral, but I think the second one was a bird, according to the symbol I got from you. And then the third one is the bar of a musical chart. But I remember that being a triangle, and four in the system that I got from you, the triangle is has a little smoke coming out of it, and that's self-awareness expanding.
Well, it sounds like the same thing, but maybe they, I don't know. I don't know if you say this came from somebody else. Maybe they just copied the whole thing, and maybe not. I know that, didn't I give you a symbol?
Yeah, book? I have some of your stuff in the other room, but I just found these on the shelf.
Well, we'll look at that later. But
right, but the thing is, you do remember the symbols. The first one was the flower. Second,
I don't remember the order.
Okay, here, if I remember, it's the mere awareness is the flower. Simple awareness was the bird. Then self-awareness was the triangle. Then the self-awareness was
expanding self-awareness.
Expanding self-awareness. And then the fifth one was cosmic awareness, the circular spiral.
Yeah, well, this may have been somebody who put together the levels of awareness rather than the numbering of the symbols.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is a progression of awareness from simple awareness to cosmic awareness. So that could be what you're referring to.
Right, but the reason I brought it up is that the fourth one, the triangle with the little cloud dust coming out of it, which is self-awareness expanding, is that thought? Is that all that, that's the self-consciousness and reflexive capacity of humans? The paranoia.
I don't know. I don't know whether you would have thought. That may be when we start to go beyond thought.
Oh, okay.
In other words, something like ecstatic meditation or something like that.
Yeah, and you used to refer to it as types of schizophrenia.
Which?
The triangle with the cloud, the little dust coming off it. Another way is that we all go through the schizophrenia. That's the attempt to go beyond thought, and how one deals with the ecology of that determines where you get.
That's a whole other lecture, but
okay, all right. So the so we're talking about September 5th, 69, and you guys had a good time that weekend.
It was incredible, unbelievable. For one thing, as everybody approached, no matter which direction they came from, north, south, east, or west, everybody saw